Welcome to Thed Talks Podcast. I'm Dr. Jimmy Chrisman, your host, and this is your ultimate destination for theater education for theater teachers and theater education students like you. Join me as we bring you heartwarming stories, interviews, and valuable insights to renew your faith in teaching and enhance your theater classroom practice. Our guests include experienced K-12 theater teachers, current theater education majors, teaching artists, and esteemed theater education professors from all around the world. Prepare to be inspired by innovative teaching techniques, share triumphs and struggles, and a wealth of resources to elevate your classroom. Whether you're a seasoned theater teacher or just starting your journey in theater education, this podcast is your place to recharge, connect, and learn from practitioners making a difference in students' lives every day. Thank you for joining our passionate theater education community as we embark on this incredible new season together. Thed Talks Podcast is here to ignite your creativity, offer support, and be your go-to resource for all things theater education. So grab a cup of coffee or your glass of wine, relax, and let's delve into heartwarming conversations and practical advice to enhance your theater classroom. Hey there, Thed Talks listeners. I am so excited to bring you today's episode. Before we dive into talking with my guest, I want to introduce you to a new course that I am offering through Heartland Intimacy Design and Training. I am thrilled to announce two new courses that I'm teaching there. First, I have a free mini course on trauma-informed education so we can understand the impact of trauma on our students and learn how to implement 12 core principles in our classroom. And then the next course is specifically for you theater teachers. It's an asynchronous course on trauma-informed practices for K-12 theater education. It will revolutionize your teaching approach. So discover practical applications tailored just for us, as theater teachers, to foster a supportive environment in both classes and our productions. Are you ready to make a difference? Head to the website and sign up today. Plus, we offer flexible payment plans because I believe everyone should have access to these invaluable resources. Don't miss out. Visit www.heartlandintimacydesign.com now. Join me at Heartland Intimacy Design and Training, where education meets empathy. Enroll today and let's empower our teaching journey together. I am very excited to welcome to this episode of Thed Talks Gina Giving of Algona, Iowa. She is the co-founder of All Call Theater and has been doing that for several years now, and wears many hats, and we're going to hear all about that and how we got to that. But before that, I'd love to hear from you, Gina, about what where this love of theater and teaching all began and how it's brought you to where you are now.
That is a very big question. I guess, you know, when I was a kid, we had a really small community, and so it didn't take a lot to be seen. But, you know, I was the kid that did dance. I was the kid that liked to be kind of the center of attention. I had two brothers, so I just had always was vying for attention in that way. And actually, the co-founder with me, Mindy Duff, that helped get I'll Call Theater up on its feet, was a good friend of mine growing up. And so we always were making skits and doing plays and just kind of goofing around at her farm or at my house or wherever we could find time. I did go to college for 4 years at Minnesota State University, Mankato. And I did, first day of school, you know how it is. Nobody knows what they want to be when they grow up, when they walk into college. And I had signed up for an intro to theater class, and this wonderful professor that was on the stage, he said, "Hey, if you have any interest in auditioning for Fiddler on the Roof, auditions are tonight, come see me after class." And I thought, man, should I, shouldn't I? And so I jumped up on stage and I asked him, and he literally broke me into their theater library so that I could get something to audition with. And we threw something together and I auditioned and got cast that night. And that was the first show I was ever in college, and it was such a wonderful experience, and I was just hooked from there on out. So I became a theater major, along with a corrections minor, which was very odd combination. But so I did my 4 years at Minnesota State University in Mankato in performance, and then I moved to New York. You know, you have your guns blazing, and you're gonna go conquer the world. And I moved to New York with another friend of mine. In the meantime, I had met who now became my husband, and started kind of shooting resumes out around his area, and from New York City got cast back in Iowa at a dinner theater. So I moved back to Iowa and did a dinner theater that was a really good opportunity there, did a couple of shows there, as a performer. And while I was doing that, obtained my massage therapy license. So that kind of became my day job for the next lot of up until this point. Had four kids. And after all of that, and kind of lost touch with the theater world for a while I was raising the kids. Now the kids are a little bit older, and it was all really good timing because I went to a meeting. We've got a thing, it's called Stetson Prairie Arts Council, and they do a lot of the art and they'll do like drum lines, drums and things like that. But they haven't done a community theater for quite a while in our area. So I went to a meeting and they said, we'd really like to get this going. And I raised my hand and I said, I'll do it. I'll do one show. We'll see how this goes. And so then I called my friend Mindy, who I mentioned earlier, and I said, okay, I want to do this, but I can only do it if you do it, because I knew that, you know, we worked really well together. And she said, sure, where do I sign? So here we are. And we have stumbled through the motions and got the right people involved and got the right support. And we are now all call theater.
and is it 2 years it's been going? Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, this all fell right at COVID, right when this was all starting to get going. And so our first show was January of 2022, but we were rehearsing in 2021, where it was, you know, I mean, we were losing cast members to quarantine, and it's like, okay, well, let's figure this out. So that actually, I think, slowed us down quite a bit. But, you know, we pushed through, and we did our first children's theater show back in January of 22. And then we've done another children's theater show since then, and another workshop where we brought in someone I knew from college, but has become very well known in the improv community. So he came back and brought some of his other troupe members, and they did an improv workshop and for the kids. And then they did a performance that night. And then we've done two adult shows as well now. So yeah, it's kind of snowballed quickly.
That's awesome. I mean, beginning in COVID and then starting as you were coming out of it. I mean, I think that's pretty successful when a lot of theaters all over the country are shutting down. So like,
that's kind of where we were like, okay, let's just, you know, well, we didn't really have a lot of idea of what it was like pre-COVID. So we just kind of, which almost became an advantage to us, because it wasn't like we were like, well, we always have done blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, I guess we're doing it this way. So we just made it work.
Well, when you started out as a young person doing theater, you said you were in a small community, so it was easy to kind of stand out. And so what were those early experiences in theater like for you?
Well, my first performance was very dance-based. But then I remember my junior high, I was in seventh grade, and the seventh and eighth grade, seventh grade. And we did a little small show, and I got to be Mrs. Good News. And I was the only kid in my class that had a line, and I was very excited. So I wore this funny hat and this denim skirt, and I was Mrs. Good News. So that was my first play that I can remember, besides like Bible school things that we would do. And then as we got into high school, we always alternated. We would do a play 1 year and then a musical the next year. And that was a really great experience. I literally can't say this loud enough, but that our drama department, for as small as we were, I mean, I want to give you some perspective for small. I graduated with 23 people.
Wow. 23. Okay.
I think when people think small, they think hundreds or maybe no, but I mean, 23 people. We knew everyone's name. We knew everyone's middle name. We knew everyone's dog's name. Like, it was very small. But we had these two incredible people that guided us and had so much enthusiasm for theater. It was Diane Nall and Eller Shipman, and they were beyond these beacons of like hope and like, you know, for these creative outlets, because, you know, a lot of times schools get the sports support and academic, of course. And we had these wonderful women that gave their heart and soul and showed us what it was to like really put on a show. So and we did big shows for that. I mean, we did a lot of the plays were kind of the lesser known things, but for musicals, I mean, they shot for the moon. We did Once Upon a Mattress, we did Oklahoma. My brothers were very active in theater as well. They did Brigadoon and Wizard of Oz. I mean, they were big things, and they did it. I mean, they did it up. It was wonderful. So that was a really good inspiration for us to get started on this and to realize, like, this is how you do it, even at a small scale.
Well, what were some of the things that you picked up from those teachers that you had during that time that you see in the work that you do now, by chance, if they do?
Yeah, I think just the level of commitment that they had. Mm-hmm. I mean, you came to rehearsal and they were prepared and they were up until 2 a.m. sewing the costumes or painting the set or, you know, figuring out, because of course this was before your pre-recorded tracks and your, you know, they, Mrs. Nall was working with the pit band as well as the vocalists. And, you know, it was a very big, and it was all encompassing, you know, with a school that small. When I was the lead in Once Upon a Mattress, I was Winifred, and she doesn't come on for a couple of songs. So I played pit band for those first couple of songs. And then I jumped on stage and then you do that. And then if you're not in that on stage, you're back in pit band and, you know, you're moving set and you're running props. And I mean, it was just everyone. So I think we really were taught like what it really takes to be committed to a show and to really just throw yourself in and to just really do it. If you're going to do it, just do it, throw yourself in and do it. So I think that was a huge thing that I learned from those teachers.
That's great. Cause I think back when I first started teaching and there was, I was the one man show. Like we didn't have a chorus teacher who was willing to work with me. The band director couldn't give his time to give us a pit. So like it was me and the kids, and I love that. And I'm not slamming any of my colleagues and friends and across the country and the world who have fantastic programs, who have those resources. But I do think there is a different energy to the groups. Yeah. and the drama clubs and programs that they're gritty and they have to do the work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was interesting. We're very fortunate in our, so I'm in another small community about 25 minutes away from where I grew up. And life kind of brought us back here. And we have this, it used to be a middle school and now it's apartments, but they kept the theater. And so it's this, like, I like to refer to it as like a Scooby-Doo theater. Like there's, we literally like talk about this theater ghost that we know is present and, you know, but it's very, it's this beautiful ornate theater that I'm so glad that they kept. But over the years, since it's not being used, you know, the lights are iffy and there's no sound and there's no, so we had to overcome those obstacles at the beginning too. And now we actually have moved on and there's this beautiful performing arts center that we use, but we use the old theater to rehearse in. And then we use this new beautiful thing. And so our first show, we were like literally borrowing mics from other places. And you know, like my son was 14 at the time and he's up, and he's in the show, but he's figuring out the light board and, you know, showing the guy that, you know, the community guy, like, okay, if you slide this and slide this, then this happens. And, you know, so there was a lot of that figuring out. And like you said, just nitty gritty, like we're going to do this. And yeah, those theaters. And now we're very fortunate. We have this beautiful performing arts center. It's called the Wilcox. And it's beautiful. And it has all of these, you know, the sound is, it's just amazing, and the lighting, and we've got people to run them, but you know, we do have that under our belt of like, yeah, I remember when we did that. And that's really, really cool too. So
you went to college and you said you majored in theater and was it minored in corrections? Is that correct?
Well, I was a double major. I, you know, there again, you don't know what you want to do. And I was always like, well, I need something to fall back on if theater doesn't come through. And so yeah, corrections always, I'd like to save the world one person at a time was my thought. And then I ended up doing an internship in corrections and going, oh my gosh, this is not something that I didn't think I could handle that part of my life. So that's something I actually never ended up pursuing and dropped it to a major. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those, like, probably should have done a little more research. I enjoyed the classes. I enjoyed the psychology. I enjoyed the idea of it. But, you know, and sometimes when you put pen to paper, it's like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. So, yeah, but, you know, I've done a lot of other things. I that has helped me understand just people and everything. So I am glad that I, you know, it wasn't wasted on me, but it just was not a career for me.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, theater educators, this is Jimmy Chrisman. If you have ever wondered how you can support the podcast in any way, well, I'm about to tell you. Fed Talks Podcast has always been and will always be a free podcast that I put out there for you teachers. I know you don't make a lot of money. I don't make a lot of money as a university professor. But if the podcast is something that has helped you out or that you just really want to find a way to support us, this is how. Visit buymeacoffee.com/FedTalksPC. And there you can make a donation right to the expenses of the show to help offset those costs. I thank you in advance for what you will do. Thank you for those of you who have donated. I appreciate it. And even if you can't make a donation, I still appreciate you. Just continue to listen and continue to share. That website again is buymeacoffee.com/FedTalksPC. So when you moved to New York with your big dreams of doing the performing thing, and you met your husband there, you said, and then...
Actually, I met my husband back here. He's from our area, but I didn't know him until we were in college. So we went to different schools and everything, and we actually started dating. Like, this is kind of a theme that I have been figuring out with my life, is like things happen like in a really weird way. Like, we started dating in March, and then I had already made plans to move out to New York. So that was like, okay, I got to figure this out. And then I moved to New York actually within the year of, like, right after 9/11 happened. So we were there for the 1 year anniversary of 9/11. And of course that meant big changes for New York. So, you know, we're all out there navigating that and figuring that out together. So, like, I'm always kind of like that person that's like, you know, tripping into some new situation and like, oh, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, but let's see what happens. So, yeah.
It sounds like you're a risk taker too.
I'm not sure they're very good, well thought out risks, but I'm definitely a jump in the water with both feet type person. Yeah.
And so you were out there for a bit, and then came back to Iowa, and the Dinner Theater was your home for a bit. And, can you talk about any of those professional experiences that you see have contributed to who you are now as an artist and educator?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really interesting experience. I did Wizard of Oz with the theater, the Dinner Theater there, and it was called Circa 21. And the people there, you know, again, you get that different level of professionalism when you are working like that and doing that many shows. One thing, this is kind of a weird story, but when I was working doing Wizard of Oz, one of the actresses had done this in another traveling, or I think it was a traveling cast that she did it in, but she brought this, you know, the movie Lilo and Stitch, the little blue alien. So she brought this blue alien stuffed animal, and the whole point of it was just to kind of keep morale and keep people fresh and everything. And so one person started with a stitch. And if you saw someone do something fun or something, you know, like help someone who forgot a prop or, you know, just did something like above and beyond, then you would get stitched the next night. And so then you were the person in charge of passing that along. And it was just this really fun thing that we did. And I actually have brought that into our theater. And that's something we do now. I started it with our adults this last summer, and I thought, I don't know if people are going to think this is silly or whatever. And it's incredible. Like, when people feel noticed, and when they get just even this silly stuffed animal became this like mascot and this like, oh, you know, so-and-so should get the stitch because, you know, and it just became this like really cool morale builder. So that's something I actually pulled. It had nothing to do with that show or anything, but it was just something that I pulled that I'm like, you know what, this was really, really something I want to pass through to other casts. So that has kind of become a little thing we do. But yeah, I think just the level of professionalism and speed that you had to learn things, you know, at that, I don't know how they do it now at Circa, but we were, you know, you're in a warehouse performing or, you know, doing like all the choreography with these incredible people who have met incredible people and worked with incredible people. And like, you have maybe 8 hours to rehearse in this warehouse, and then you're throwing it on stage and you're already in costume or whatever, you know, it's just very quick. I think that was something that was exciting to me and a little scary because, I mean, you know, in the educational setting, we had very high expectations, but we did go through the process more, you know, of having time to learn the lines and, you know, knowing the people that you were working with too. And obviously when you're, when they're bringing in new casts and new actors all the time, you know, it's, hey, how you doing? Okay, now let's get to work. You know, it was just, it's just a very faster, a much faster pace than I was used to working, but I enjoyed that. And it was exciting to me. So I really liked that.
So when the Arts Council presented that opportunity and you jumped on it immediately, what were some of those, COVID and its complications aside, what were some of those challenges of getting things going that you didn't anticipate?
Well, and there were, it's not just me and Mindy. I need to, there's a lot of other people that have helped out a lot with this. One of the people, her name is Luann, and she, you know, helped us kind of navigate, like, how do we get rights for a show? You know, there's the things that you, you know, happen, but you don't quite know how to navigate that. And so we did this little show that we, you know, it wasn't a big production by any, or a big well-known show, but it was called Jack and Bella from Beanstalk to Broadway. And it was just this, you know, it had like maybe five songs and it was this cute show, but you know, just how do we obtain rights? And at that point, where does the money come from? Because you have exactly $0, you know, and just trying to secure rehearsal spaces and, you know, how are we going to get these kids who are in basketball, volleyball, football, dance, band, you know, they've got all these other activities. How do we find time to grab them for a couple hours here and there and just get some rehearsal going? So just trying to work ourselves into everybody's schedules and see what happens and, you know, just how to communicate with parents and yeah, it, all those things that, you know, happen at some point and you're like, oh man, now I'm the one that has to think about how those things happen and, or I have to delegate it to someone else. So I think that was, you know, just trying to get all of these wheels spinning and, you know, everyone's got a guy, oh, I've got a guy that knows how to build set, or I've got a guy that, you know, and then you call the guy or the gal that knows how to do it. And, oh, they're out of town or, oh, they don't do that anymore. You know how that is. It's like, well, man, I was kind of banking on that. And then, you know, so you search for a new guy or a new gal and, just, yeah, just trying to get the word out that, hey, we're doing this again. Please come help.
Talk a little bit about the impact on your community and the successes that you've had.
So we've always known that this area is very supportive of the arts and everything, but it has been pretty exciting to see, you know, just people stopping us in the grocery store. Or, you know, I was walking, we had a parade, a fair parade, and I'm not joking, I got stopped, I bet 10, 15 times, because it was like 2 weeks after our last show that we did Once Upon a Mattress as a community theater, and I got stopped just in the most random places with people, oh my gosh, that was so wonderful, and we used to do that, you know, and then everyone wants to tell their story of how they saw this or they did that, and so that's been really exciting to see the community come together and say, yes, we want this. Please keep doing this. But, you know, like I said, the first show we did was very, very small, not known. And it was just kind of just throwing it out there to see if anything would stick. The next show we did was Aladdin. It was our children's theater show. And I think I should have looked up the numbers, but I think our first show, I think we had like 18 kids. And it was great and it filled the stage and everything. And then we did auditions for Aladdin and we had over 60 kids audition.
Wow.
And we're going, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do with all these kids? Luckily at that point we had money. We had some money. Not only did we get you know, the money from the show that we had done, but we've got really, really big support in this community. There's some trusts. There's one that's called the Haggard Toogood. And they're wonderful. It's, you write a grant and they're just very, very, very supportive of that. So, you know, just, we got our ducks in a row and and ended up getting some money from them and from the Stetson Prairie Arts Council. And just private people would come up and say, hey, where can I send a check? So that was awesome. So yeah, Aladdin, and just doing a show that is well known, you know, even though the rights are a little bit ridiculous to get the rights for a show like that. I mean, the community support was incredible. And here again, so we actually ended up moving that to the bigger space because there was no way we were putting 60, I think we ended up with 63 kids on the smaller stage, on our Scooby-Doo stage. So that was the first one we moved, and it became this, it was just this really cool thing. You know, we're thinking that these little kids are going to audition, and then all of a sudden we have all these high school kids show up and they want to be a part of it. And so I think we had four kids that were in Allstate in high school audition, and we're like, oh my God. I mean, it was a really, really, really good, like, professional show. And we're like, hey, we just did that. That was amazing. So, you know, just being able to afford those bigger right shows and having people know we were there, that was really, you know, a different level of professionalism we were able to achieve. So that was wonderful.
That's awesome. And are you still doing the massage therapy?
I do. Yep. During the day I do massage. And like I said, I have four kids ranging from 6 years old to 16. So we're busy with two of my kids are involved in it to this point. And then I've got one boy that's, he'll do any sport at any time in front of any amount of people. But if I were to give him one line on stage, I think he would not be very excited about that experience. So, one, not theater lover, but my oldest and then my daughter are incredibly excited and involved. And then my 6-year-old is just now starting to say, I think I might audition next time. So, so yeah, that definitely has become a family ordeal. My husband's a chiropractor, and he begrudgingly became like our set guy. Like, so he does it, and he does a really good job. But he's just like, okay, what do you need? When do you need it? Like, but let's just get this done, you know. So he does it, and he supports it. But I'm not sure that that's where he sees his Saturdays.
Well, do you? With the work, with being mom, with being wife, with being theater person who runs theater, when do you have time for you, and when do you get to slow down and just be Gina for a bit?
Well, so in a weird way, theater is kind of what I do for therapy. Like, you know, massage therapy, I'm dealing with making people feel better, and you know, a lot of times they're bringing not only their pain, their actual physical pains, but you do become kind of a therapist to people, and you get to know them very well. And you start, it's not just, you know, people don't just come in on the table and lay down and an hour later they leave, you know, you become very involved with these people's lives. And so going and doing theater and seeing and giving these kids and other adults an outlet has actually been very, very much like therapy for me in a weird way, just getting to work this back in my life. I do enjoy running and exercising, but yeah, I don't know, just doing that has really filled this weird void. And that was one thing that when we got community theater going again this last summer for the adults, that over and over, especially towards the end of the process, a lot of the adults were saying, oh my gosh, I did not realize how much I missed this. And what a void that this fills, you know, even though we're busy and we're doing this and we're doing that, and you've got to cram in these rehearsals, you know, I think everybody leaves feeling just, you know, better, like they have been able to separate and, you know, just, I don't know, I made up this quote, and I don't know if it's completely made up, but it kind of rang true to the adults this summer was, you know, sometimes to be the best version of yourself, you need to go be someone else for a little while. And I just really thought that summed up a lot of us that were, you know, dealing with all these other things. And it's like, you know, theater, as unpredictable as it can be, you've got this script and you've got this is what needs to happen. And this needs to happen now. And then this happens next. And it's very laid out. And so, you know, sometimes that you just need a little bit of that order in your life. And I think that that really helped a lot of us. So I don't know, I guess in a weird way, you know, it is an extra stress, but it's a good stress. And it's something that helps me kind of reconfigure everything else in my life. So, and seeing the impact that it has on the kids. And, you know, a lot of these kids don't have this otherwise. So just being able to teach them or be a safe space for exploring this is just really, I don't know, that I think in and of itself has become my therapy.
That's great. That's great. And for those adults as well, like you're providing that for them too, from what you just shared.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember when I moved from South Carolina to Illinois, a little over 6 years ago, I didn't perform. I did some directing and I'm teaching still. So like I am still doing theater and, but I hadn't performed in a long time. And 2 years ago, I performed for the first time in gosh, 4 or 5 years, I think. And I didn't realize how much I had missed it and how much, like I was literally sitting in the theater during the auditions and just the people in the room. And granted, we were coming out of COVID as well. So being around people again was a great thing. And I texted my husband. I said, I'm crying right now because like, I'm just in the space and I'm so excited just to be here to create at this audition. And so I love that. I love that your community is experiencing that as well.
Yeah. And it's really interesting that you say that because there's such a different satisfaction being in like the director role now than it is being a performer. And that, you know, one of my other cast members also directs and he's like, oh, I think I want to direct a show again. What would it take to get you back on stage? And I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'd do that right now. I think that type of stress is not a good stress for me in my life right now. But like, you know, taking a curtain call and having the lights hit you from the front and then watching your cast and everything that they've gone through and watching that from the side, that is such a different satisfaction. And I'm really enjoying that backstage feeling now. And I just think that that's really interesting and something that I didn't understand until I experienced.
I hear you. Hey, Thed Talks listener. Yeah, you. Thank you for listening. Really, thank you. It's because of listeners like you that this podcast exists and continues to bring you heartwarming stories and help you and many other theater teachers feel a little less alone in your practice. Thed Talks is listened to in 78 countries and continues to grow with every episode. Here's the thing. I need your support to continue spreading the joy of theater education. So I have a few requests for you. First, subscribe to Thed Talks podcast on your favorite podcast provider, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other platform. Hit that subscribe button to stay updated with our latest episodes. Second, I encourage you to rate the podcast. Your feedback is crucial in helping us improve and reach more theater enthusiasts like yourself. Your rating will help others discover the podcast and benefit from the insights shared. Lastly, I invite you to leave a review. Share your thoughts, experiences, and how Thed Talks podcast has enriched your teaching practice. Your review will not only inspire others to listen, but also help build a community of passionate theater educators. So let's come together and celebrate the transformative power of theater education. Subscribe, rate, and leave a review for Thed Talks podcast today. Well, what are a couple of your favorite stories from your... not just from the theater that you've helped establish there in your community, but also just your career so far, like a couple of your favorite moments that really stand out to you.
Oh gosh, there's so many. One thing that was really interesting was so my son is in high school at Bishop Garrigan and they have a director that's been doing it for a long time. And I popped in and I've helped with props or with costumes or with just little makeup or, you know, taking tickets or whatever. But I've never really been in like involved in the production itself, like the, you know, directing or anything like that. And last year a situation came up where I had to step in and the director had some personal issues that she wasn't able to give fully her directing. And so I stepped in very last minute. And that was a really interesting thing to step in, like not even mid process, but very late process. and go, okay, you know, maybe that's not how I see this, or that's not how I would do this, but I wasn't there to change it. I wasn't there to do, you know, it was just like, okay. So just, I think stepping in and taking on that, like, it's not your vision. It's not something you've worked with from the beginning, and just rolling with that. That was a really interesting eye-opening experience. So that was kind of fun, something unexpected. And then that got me involved. And she actually ended up retiring after doing it for years and years and years. So now I'm doing the musicals at Garrigan, as well as the All Call Theater. So we're doing Sing in the Rain right now, and we just started rehearsals. And, you know, doing it at a high school versus a community theater level is very different. As with anything, every production is different. So that's been really fun, a fun new challenge. One of my favorite, and I'll probably get emotional because it was just a really cool moment. During Aladdin last year, one of my actresses, and she's in junior high, and she got really sick, really, really sick. And she ended up in the hospital and wasn't able to do her basketball or any, you know, they just kind of said, you can't be doing anything active right now. So she had to drop out of that and, you know, wasn't attending school because she was so sick. And her mom called and she said, I'm so, so, so sorry. She's not going to be able to be in the show. And I know this family, and they are a very committed family. They are Johnny on the spot. They are off book. She's a beautiful dancer. And I said, well, if you're comfortable and she's comfortable with this, I know when she gets better and when she's able to, I know she'll be off book. I'll know she'd be able to do this, you know. Are you okay with staying in it? Because if it's causing stress, I don't want her to do it. But if she wants to do this, you know, we're okay. Like, we know she's going to be okay. And she ended up getting better and stronger and, you know, showed up to rehearsal for a few, you know, maybe half an hour and then an hour. And by the time we were up for performance, she was back at it. She did an amazing job. And after the show, I said, I went up to her and I gave her a big hug and I was all emotional. And I said, I knew you could do it. You know, I'm so proud of you and I'm so happy for you. And she gets these big puppy dog tears in her eyes. And she said, this is the only thing that has made me feel normal through this whole thing. And I just, those are the moments that you go, yes, this is beyond the script. This is beyond ticket sales. This is beyond any of that. You go, this is why we do this, you know. So that was a really cool story that happened, and that I was just really glad to be a part of. Let me think if there's anything else. I don't know. You know, there's always those show must go on moments. In between Aladdin, we are just cursed. The first year we had to cancel a performance because of a snowstorm. And then the next year, lo and behold, snowstorm happens and we have to cancel another performance. So we end up actually, instead of canceling it, we just moved it. So we did a matinee on Sunday and then an evening performance. And it was kind of great because the kids were in costume and in makeup and we just could leave them, you know. But in between the show, I actually ended up breaking my foot.
Oh,
no. And so here I am, you know, and I think that eventually I will be the type of director that sits and watches it from the audience. But at this point in the stage, you know, I'm backstage and I'm helping with costume changes and I'm, you know, helping make sure the set's being moved on and everything. So I'm backstage and it happened between shows and I was talking to Mindy, my other director, and we're just sitting there and all of a sudden I broke my foot. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, that's a tomorrow problem. So I taped up my foot and then we had a wonderful second show. So, you know, just things like that happen. And it's just like, well, what do you do? So it was just kind of funny.
Oh, wow. Man, you are a trooper. You are a trooper.
What do you do? You know, we've been just very fortunate in our small community to have people, you know, be all in and to support us. So I guess that overwhelmingly, and, you know, I know that this is, you probably have people that are more teacher based and more education based than me, but you know, just that kids can learn so much without a textbook and without, you know, just from my experiences or from my other director's experiences. that, you know, this is a weird, it's not like math where you need, you know, you need to learn this and this and this. And of course, you know, you can build on what you already know. And even at my age, there's literally just so much that we don't know, you know, and a lot of it is just, you just have to experience it. So yeah, that's, I guess, you know, it's just overwhelmingly just so experience-based, but then there is obviously the technique, and that's something that we hope, as we grow, to be doing more of the workshops. Like I you know, I mentioned earlier, we brought in the, mm-hmm. the improv workshop, and that was so like, so awesome. And the energy that, that kids get from other people that are doing it, you know, so we hope to bring in a lot more things, and not only for at the actors, but also for the backstage kids that want to learn how to program lights and, you know, how do you build a set for the stage and things like that. So those are all things that we really hope to add into our program in the near future.
That's great. And I love what I've loved about doing this podcast is meeting people who are teaching in so many different ways and impacting young people and adults and teaching those skills in lots of different capacities and settings. And I think there's tons that we can learn from each other still. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, and please, just because you're not in a school building doesn't mean I don't value what you're doing and the educational opportunities you're providing for your community. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been awesome.
Well, Gina, what is a resource that you are using or have used that is a must have for theater teachers, teaching artists, anyone doing what you do?
Like I said, I'm not in a classroom, so I don't have a lot of like books and anything like any materials that I necessarily use. I think going and asking people that are in the business is huge. When we were in college, we had this class, it was called Careers, and they would bring in people that were actually doing theater. And I think that you can learn so much from these people that are actually doing theater and or have done theater. I think that people are such a big resource, just experiences and what not to do. And I wish I would have. And this was a great, you know, just all of the that you can learn just from people.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for especially young teachers who are just entering doing this to think about your contacts and
absolutely.
Meet new people. And you never know who's going to be able to come in and work with your students or
and
know
maybe
someone
not
who
now.
Knows someone. Right.
Yeah. And maybe not now, but maybe 2 years down the line, you're all of a sudden you're doing some Greek something or other. And you're like, oh my gosh, I met this guy or this person, you know, 2 years ago. What did I do with that phone number? You know, yeah. And just staying in contact with people and like you're doing, building this little community of people that are like, are in it together. I think that's huge. Yeah. And even like just the business side of it, you know, talking to people that run the theaters, you know, maybe they've never stepped foot on the stage, but just, you know, how in the world, how do I even reserve this space? You know, like things like just the technical, like boring elements of theater, you know, that have to happen. So, you know, people are just such a wonderful resource.
Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate you bringing that back to our minds to utilize our people resources as well. So thank you.
Yeah.
And then my final question, what are your parting words of wisdom for a new teacher or new artist entering this field or a veteran just needing an encouraging word right now?
Oh, wow. I think, you know, like I said earlier, just jump in, do it. You know, if there's something that you want to happen on stage, I like the phrase, why not? You know, sometimes if you have an idea and you just say, well, you know, if someone shuts it down or, well, we've never done that or whatever, just why not? Why not? And maybe there's a very good reason, you know, oh, our stage doesn't support that. Wonderful. I will stop thinking about that. But if it's just, we've never done that before, we've always done this. Well, why not? Why not try it this way? Why not ask this person? Why not cast this person? You know, just because they've always done it and it's worked, well, maybe this way will work, and maybe it won't. And I think failure is very important too. You know, I mean, it hurts to fall on your face, but hopefully it happens in the safe space where you can go, oh wow, you were right, that didn't work, and that you hopefully can find your new why not, you know. So I think that phrase, it pops into my mind a lot when I'm especially in the planning phase of a show, is, oh, maybe we could try this. Oh, I don't know. And you know, you kind of get scared, or you talk yourself out of this, that, or whatever. And then you just go, why not? Why not? And sometimes, like I said, there's a very good reason why not. And then to listen to that too. sometimes we get very bullheaded. I know I do, and go, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. But still, I still want to do this. But sometimes we do need to step back and go, okay, yeah, okay, let's try it this way. So I think, yeah, just listening to pushing through that doubt and pushing through that. Because I think what most of us like about theater is not just seeing a karaoke version of something we've seen before, you know, with Wizard of Oz or with some of those shows that are very popular. You know, if they do a little twist or if they do something different, you know, those classics are great. But if you can make them your own and make them different somehow, that's why you do theater, is to explore and to give kids, in this instance, but other adults too, you know, to give them that safe space to play.
Awesome. Well, Gina, thank you so much for chatting with me this morning and sharing all the great things you have going on in your community. I wish you all the best with this year. I meant to ask you earlier, what's next for you? Before I tell you goodbye,
so right
what's next?
Now, yeah. So we just finished Once Upon a Mattress with the adults. And then I'm doing, like I said, the high school production of Singing in the Rain. We're in that right now. We just got the ball rolling on that. And that's in November. And then I think 2 weeks after that closes, we'll do auditions for the children's theater show. So that will, usually we audition it and then we get the scripts to the kids and they kind of have it over Thanksgiving break. And then we jump into it. So that'll perform, probably late January. And we don't know what we're doing yet for that one. So we're kind of kicking around some show ideas and, you know, now that we kind of know how many to expect and everything, you know, you kind of can take that into account with your planning. So yeah, children's theater show. And then just trying to get a couple workshops lined up especially for the students. And then we also do another thing. I want to show kids theater. And so we're trying to get some experiences for them, whether it's, we're trying to get a children's theater traveling show into our community. So if anybody's listening and has a show that travels, we really want to show the kids, you know, not only, you know, maybe a more professional show, but how you don't need 75 set pieces and 400 costumes, you know, sometimes just those scaled down versions are really as effective. So that's another thing we're looking at doing. So yeah, a lot of things coming up.
A lot of exciting things for you. So I wish you all the best with it. And I have no doubt that it will be a successful year for you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Thed Talks Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this week's conversation and practical advice from my incredible guest. Remember, if you want to revisit any past episodes or explore the resources recommended by our guests, head over to our website at www.thedtalks.com. There you'll find a treasure trove of valuable content, with each guest having their own dedicated page. Stay connected with us on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for all your updates, behind-the-scenes moments, and engaging discussions. I love hearing from the community, so don't hesitate to reach out. I want to invite you to sign up for the mailing list on our website. By joining the mailing list, you'll be the first to know about new episodes, exclusive content, and exciting updates from Thed Talks Podcast. Simply visit www.thedtalks.com and enter your email address to stay connected with us. Have an idea for a future topic or a guest recommendation? Send an email to jimmy@thedtalks.com. Your input is vital in shaping the future of the podcast, and I value your suggestions. And for all you theater educators out there who have a story to share, visit our website to register as a guest. I'd be thrilled to have you on the show and share your insights with the listeners. Once again, thank you for being a part of Thed Talks Podcast community. Your support and engagement mean the world to me. So join me next week for another inspiring conversation and practical advice. Until next time, stay passionate, stay dedicated, and keep making a difference in the lives of your students. Thank you for all that you do. I appreciate you.